There's a story told in the Sefer Hagoyin HaChassid Mivilna about a person who had left his wife pretty soon after they got married. She was left alone as an aguna, unable to get married to anyone else. She had lived in this terribly depressing situation for many, many years, until one day there was a knock at her parents' home where she lived, and there was a man standing there who introduced himself as her long-lost husband. He shared details with her that only he could have known about their short time that they spent together. He apologized profusely for leaving her and promised from now on to stay loyal to her and build a home together. Her family were so relieved that she would have a way out of her very sad situation, and they greeted him with happiness and welcomed him back to the family. But there was something that was telling her, something is wrong here. This is not my husband. And although he knew so much about her and her family and different names and different occurrences, and she hadn't seen him for so many years, so it could be that it was him, but there was something that was telling her, this is not him, this is not my husband. The Askanim in the community were trying very hard to get them back together again. And the woman said, you know what, if the Vilna Gaon says that I should live with him, I will. I'll go back to him. But I need to hear a psak from the Vilna Gaon. So the Rabbanim went immediately and they asked the Vilna Gaon, what should we do? And after he heard all the details, he told the father of the girl, take your purported son-in-law to shul and let him find his own way to his seat. See if he could find his seat by himself. The father did as was advised, but the son-in-law was totally lost. He didn't know where to go. He couldn't find a seat. The Vilna Gaon said, someone who remembers all the different tiny details from being married so many years ago would certainly remember where he sits. And therefore, it must be that he is an imposter, and it must be that at some point he met the real husband and squeezed him for all the details of whatever he thought would be important for him to know, and came back. But there's one thing he didn't think to ask about. He didn't ask about the shul, because this person was clearly morally deficient, and it wouldn't have entered his mind when getting information about all the other things to ask about something shebekdusha, to ask about anything that had to do with shul. The Dayanim called him back in, and after a tough investigation, he admitted that he was an imposter and had gathered the information for the said reason. The story ends with the real husband eventually coming back home. This story can answer a question which has been asked many times over. In this week's parsha, it says, "Vayar es ha'agalas asher shalach Yosef laseisoisoi." When Yaakov hears the news that Yosef is still alive, he reserves judgment until he saw the wagons that Yosef sent to carry him. Vatechi ruach Yaakov avihem. And there was something about seeing these wagons that uplifted his spirit and made him happy. This was the final thing that he needed to believe, that yes, actually, this is Yosef, and Yosef is still alive. Why did he get so excited about these wagons? What was the wagons? There are many answers that are given. Chazal say that Yosef was trying to send a hint to his father, to reassure him of his identity. The hint that he sent was the very last thing that they had learned together. He said, remember, father, the last thing we learned was Egla Arufa, and I'm sending you these agolos, as a hint. It's a play on words, really, because an egla arufa is a calf, and the agolas are wagons, but it's the same sharish, it's the same word. Father, this is me, I'm Yosef, this is the last thing we learned together. Rabbi Avadya Mibartanura explains how it happened. When Yaakov sent Yosef to Shechem to find his brothers, he walked with him a little. Yosef told his father, go home, I don't want to belittle your kavod, you don't have to go with me. Yaakov responded that I must walk with you, because if a person doesn't accompany another on his way, if something bad happens to the traveler, the closest city has to bring an egla arufa, a calf, and the skenim of that city need to put their hands on the calf and say, Yadenu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh, our hands did not spill this blood. The Gemara asks, would it even dawn on us that the Zakenim were murderers? Would it even dawn on us that the elders of the city were the ones who had murdered this person? And Yaakov explained to Yosef, no, what it means is that they had to swear that they didn't let the traveler leave without being accompanied, because letting a traveler leave without being accompanied is tantamount to murdering him. This was the last conversation that they had together, and it was with this halacha that Yaakov parted from Yosef. But we still want to understand why these wagons were the things that rejuvenated Yaakov. On a simple level, we could say that this convinced Yaakov that Yosef had held on to his Yiddishkeit even though he was all alone in Mitzrayim, and this was the message he was sending to his father. Uvechol zeis, shimcha lo shachachnu. Despite all my years in Golus and captivity, I have held on to my Torah, and I'm sharing that message with you. I am still Yosef HaTzadik. But in connection to the story we just told, there's a teacher who works in the school that I teach in, whose name is Rabbi Modell, who puts out beautiful parsha sheets every week, and he connected the story to this answer. And he said like this, perhaps Yaakov was thinking that it could be that someone had met Yosef at some point and found out a lot of details about him. And that's the person who is now saying, I am Yosef. But how do I know that it's really Yosef? After being apart for so many years, how could Yaakov be sure that he wasn't an imposter? And the answer is that although an imposter could have presumably figured out lots of information, even all that knowing who was the oldest and who was the youngest, that the Binyamin was the one who was supposedly the brother of Yosef, and being able to send back to Yaakov, there are many details he could have heard had he met Yosef. But how do I know this is really Yosef? Because it wouldn't have dawned on him if it was an imposter to think about asking him, what's the last halacha you heard from your father? That wouldn't have been in his head. It would only be a tzaddik, someone who's living in the world of Avodas Hashem, who would think in this direction. And therefore, the sign about the agalais, the egla arufa, must be coming from Yosef himself. This was the final proof he needed. And therefore, vatechi ruach Yaakov. It's the spirituality that allows us to transcend when everything else is gone. This is important. This is what I held on to. And this is what's clearly mine. I read a beautiful story once about a survivor, a child survivor, who landed on the shores of Eretz Yisrael, and he was brought to the Panovich Rav. He wanted to join the Panovich Yeshiva. And he had missed so many years of Torah learning, and he was coming really without anything. And he came to the Panovich Rav, and the Panovich Rav began to speak to him. And he heard all about the tribulations that he had gone through during the war. And then he tried to ask him, have you learned anything? Do you know anything? And he really didn't. And then he said to him, what's the last thing you learned in Cheder before you were taken away? And this he was able to recall. And as he started to talk, Vatechi Ruchai, his spirit came back. And they spoke and they spoke and they spoke until it ended with a dance. And the Panovich Rav says, this boy has nothing. He has no mother and he has no father and he has no sisters or brothers or Rebbe or community or nothing. Everything was taken away, but there's one thing that they didn't take away from him. His Torah they didn't take away from him. The last thing he learned in Cheder he remembers and he held on to, and it is still here with him. Vatechi ruach Yaakov. It's still Yosef HaTzadik. And what's on his head is the Agalais. The Egla Arufa, the Torah that I taught him on his way out into Golus. And this was the final proof, the evidence that there was no way that anybody else could have known this, except for a tzaddik, except for the Yosef HaTzaddik. Because anybody who is trying to trick Yaakov, or anyone who is trying to use this for nefarious purposes, would never have thought to ask, well, what is the last thing that you actually learned with your father before you left his home?